Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Blog Talk Radio.
Show. I'm Lila.
And I'm Leo. And tonight we have a continued discussion with Tex Mars. We'll be starting at 8:15. And we're going to be talking about his new video, Die America Die. And I've got a video that I want to play. It's called Let Your Life Be a Friction to Stop the Machine, which is a quote from Civil Disobedience. David Thoreau, but it's about 22 minutes, but it's not gonna we'll only be playing about 15, but I want you to hear it. It's a very very good synopsis of how America became, what it became, and why it became the way it did, which is what we're fighting today.
Not to lose that, and we've lost.
No, it was planned.
Oh, okay. So
was kind of planned. So let's watch this.
Nightmare and insanity are akin. Mysterious and involuntary states that skew and distort objective reality. One wakens from nightmare. From insanity, there is no awakening. Whether Americans live in the one state or the other is the paramount question of this era. For 200 years, Americans have been indoctrinated with a mythology created, imposed, and sustained by a manipulating cabal, a financial elite that built its absolute control on the muscle and blood, ignorance, and credulity of its citizenry. It has now metastasized into the corporate tyranny that owns and controls America. America began with the invasion of a populated continent and the genocide of its people. Once entrenched, it embraced enslavement of another race. With those pillars of state in place, it declared itself an independent nation in a testament that proclaimed the equality of all mankind. In that monumental act of hypocrisy, America's myth had its genesis. A constitution was written that came to be regarded as holy writ. Designed by men of wealth and prominence, its central purposes were to defend private property and suppress mass democracy. It has fulfilled those mandates beyond the dreams of its creators. With the existing oligarchy secure in law and native people largely exterminated, the ruling class increased its wealth and power fantastically in the 19th century, using the government as its enabler, exploiting to the limit the device of chartered corporations. So empowered, the financial elite used the military to expand its sway beyond the continent. Regions, territories, islands, and whole countries were annexed, invaded, and possessed outright, their peoples crushed, suppressed, and exploited. Because ordinary Americans, like any people, need to believe that whatever the ruling class undertakes in their name must be essentially benevolent, noble in purpose, and justified in fact, the American myth had to be radically modified for imperial expansion. The foundational myth was that the Americans had come to a howling wilderness teeming with godless savages, and through invincible strength of character and purity of purpose had tamed the land and honorably earned the right to possess their bountiful home. In the era of extraterritorial expansion, that version was polished to justify and ennoble imperialism. The new corollary was that America was obliged by our manifest destiny to carry our mission into barbaric darkness wherever tyranny created abuse and suffering. A national myth that absolutely binds the loyalty of a people to its government must be a subtle and powerful elixir that elevates and aggrandizes that people's self-regard. National policy will then appear to be an extension of its superior citizenry's inchoate will and an instrument of justified arrogance toward the lesser world. The simple, powerful myth of America's heroic and altruistic benevolence, shaped by the financial elite, infused Americans with a hubristic belief in their racial superiority that mobilized gave imperialist enterprises the character of a quasi-religious crusade. In this way, insatiable imperialism acquired the apparent moral perfection of a syllogism. With World War II, the world was reconfigured. American capitalism emerged supreme from the horror that had virtually wrecked its capitalist partner. The Soviet Union, though, in spite of having absorbed much the greatest devastation of all from Nazi Germany, rose astonishingly from its ruin to become the sole rival to America as a world power. This challenge was not competitive, it was systemic. Soviet communism was a direct threat to American hegemony in that it categorically refuted the philosophical basis of predatory capitalism. Grounded in Marx and Lenin, it attacked capitalism's inherent evils, monstrous inequities, and flagrant injustices that, when exacerbated by speculation, exploitation, and fraud, would eventually destroy it. And it promoted world revolution. The Cold War required further refinement of the American myth. Instead of simply intervening where circumstances supposedly demanded that we impose our system, America now had to be the shield and bulwark of the sacred capitalist system in which free enterprise, magically identified with democracy, was equally to be defended. This version held through many surrogate confrontations in the era of mutually assured destruction, and survived even the debacle of Vietnam, lasting until the collapse of the Soviet Union. On radio and television, Americans were subjected to an unrelenting barrage of hyper-patriotism, in which American moral superiority was a given, and America's self-touted courage, generosity, and decency were its unchallengeable proofs. The implosion of the Soviet Union left America, in its own terms, the sole superpower in a unipolar world, which required further retooling of the myth. The practical effect of having no doomsday enemy, China wouldn't do yet, was to supercharge its element of pure hubristic ego. America was no longer just the defender of the free world from heresy. It was now, by virtue of its glorious self-touted exceptionalism, required to oversee and police it in the interests and for the benefit of all. Power tends to corrupt, said Lord Acton, and absolute power corrupts absolutely. When the only rival to American power disintegrated, our ruling elite saw the opportunity for the first time in history for one country to absolutely dominate and control the world. This consensus was expressed in a policy statement by major hard right-wing political players titled The Project for a New American Century. This triumphalist manifesto laid out a plan for absolute American access to and control of essential resources and raw materials worldwide, guaranteed by our military enforcing full-spectrum dominance. American myth, which had lost some momentum in the totally unexpected so-called Cold War victory, was now re-energized with a proactive essence and endowed with the glowing radiance of a true and, for the first time, self-professed imperial mission. The attack on the towers, an unimaginable provocation, was the trigger mechanism for the explosive launch of the effort to impose that imperial model in practice on the world. It has been without question the most spectacular failure in the history of American misadventure. After a decade marked by the waste of trillions of dollars and thousands of American lives, the stunning bankruptcy of our internally burglarized nation, and a consequent recession more fundamentally damaging than the Great One, Imperial America has nothing to show for the astonishing folly of its arrogant overreach, but unequivocal disasters in Iraq, Afghanistan, and Pakistan, with no end of madness in sight. It is clear that the hypnotic hold of the American myth on the loyalty of the people has led only to disgrace and tragedy, and set a course to inevitable imperial decline and ruin. This truth, though, entirely mistakes the purpose of the myth. It was never intended to serve either our country or our people. It was created solely to shield, buttress, and exalt the financial ruling class. It has done that with complete and astonishing success. As a prime example, the massive looting of funding for the Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan wars to enrich the corporate tyranny is on a unique scale of its own, without anything remotely comparable to its flagrant obscenity in the whole long history of war. Neither the Pentagon nor the government can account for the billions of dollars that have vanished there. There is no doubt that beyond the outrageously inflated no-bid contracts given to giant corporations with their obscene guaranteed profits, much of the money was simply stolen by, through, or in spite of the military, and distributed among thieves and accomplices. Much of it came in bricks on huge pallets, for convenience, presumably. As this wholesale corporate robbery was in progress under military oversight abroad, the corporate tyranny evolved a new set of impenetrably complex devices for the generation of money without either any economically productive source or result at home. The sole driving force and purpose of capitalism is, of course, the realization of profit. According to that iron calculus, reducing production costs increases profit margin. This leads to the obvious conclusion that as production costs near zero, profit is maximized. There is no provision for social good in capitalist theory. Corporations, created to optimize commercial opportunity through efficient specialization, were originally required to operate for public good, but that provision was quickly finessed and forgotten. American law courts have always favored corporate concentrations of wealth since they, like the Congress, exist to serve moneyed interests. And the judiciary has consistently cooperated in ruling reliably for corporations and against the interests of the people. Indeed, without considering the question in law, the Supreme Court long ago endowed corporations with personhood, that is, with all the rights of human beings under our Constitution. That this travesty occurred as a slipshod clerical error shows that the court preferred to mask this perversion of the intent of the 14th Amendment as an unexamined assumption rather than risk an eventual test which would have created public outrage. Given the collusion of Congress and the courts in securing legal invulnerability for the corporate tyranny, and the fact that corporations' only duty is maximization of profit, it was inevitable that megabanks, huge brokerage houses, giant insurance conglomerates, gilded hedge funds, and credit agencies pretending to certify their work all engaged in massive criminal fraud and deception for just that purpose. The result was the crash of 08, the recession, and the unprecedented bailout of the biggest banks and investment houses with taxpayer dollars. So much for the invisible hand of the free market. In recent years, two related trends have battered the American myth. First, any belief the world had in it has been shattered by a catastrophic series of imbecile military disasters which has eroded its efficacy at home. Second, in response, the state has made crude efforts to boost its waning power by imposing totalitarian-style surveillance, intimidation, and coercion on the American people to a degree unprecedented in scope and scale. The vast, clanking medieval apparatus of homeland security that has sprouted like an enormous poison fungus since 9/11, with its brutal police state mindset, The odious Patriot Act with its flagrant subversions of the Bill of Rights. The endless fantasy-based terror peddling of the prostitute corporate media with its clowns and harpies churning irrational fear and anger in the uninformed. All this grim repressive machinery is a ham-handed attempt to distract Americans from the real causes of their injury, abuse, and oppression. And yet, even with the American myth now exposed for the tissue of lies, deceptions, and frauds that it has always been, it still keeps its phenomenal hold on the great mass of American people. The sad reality is that for the majority, their own identities have been so deeply and thoroughly infused with the myth that to disbelieve it is to disbelieve in themselves.
I want to continue this eventually, but we've still got, but we have to go to our guest, Tex Mars. And we are, for those who just joined us, we're going to be continuing our discussion we had last Wednesday with him regarding pretty much the same issue that we just played.
He didn't really have a chance to talk about his new video.
We got kind of sidetracked a little bit.
We had originally had him on to talk about his new video, but we all got so interested in other things that we didn't get a chance to talk about it. So we invited him back to talk about his new video.
Yeah, and we'll call him right
now. I'm not sure whether he has a book, too, or just a video.
Right now, video is out right now. His last book was...
We'll have to promise not to get...
Tex Mars.
Hey, Tex, how are you? It's Leo and
hey.
Lila.
Great, hey. Leo. Glad to be with you and Lila. Kyla, right?
That's correct. Nice to be with you. We just said to our folks at home that we're going to try to promise not to get so sidetracked this evening. We had originally set up this interview to talk about your new video. And
okay.
Got so involved in talking about other things that we didn't even really get a chance.
Well, it was fascinating.
It was a great...
That Christian right element and a number of other aspects that you talked about.
But we thought we'd start off and try to focus on your new video that you have so you have an opportunity to tell folks about it.
Well, that's really kind. I did enjoy the discussion we had, and it's so far-ranging. It's always nice to have a host who understand geopolitical events that you can, talk with. So many of them are just surface folks. But Leo, you and Kyla really dig in and do your homework. But I do appreciate talking about Die America Die, because it really, it's not just a title to frighten people or to scare them into buying it. And I really disliked putting that title on it. But after all, this is what is being threatened. In the video, I quote George Soros, one of the world's most powerful billionaires, who said China will be leader of the new world order and American citizens better not resist. And there's a threat from Soros, who very powerful, not only in Europe and Britain, but in the United States. He basically has been funding the... reportedly the Occupy movement around the world, and has a number of websites promoting liberalism and other values. And some of the things that he wants may be good, but basically he is, like the others, a socialist, and he doesn't really have good intentions for America. But to think that these folks, the elite of the New World Order, of whatever nationality they are, American, Jew, Europe, or British, that they have deemed it necessary to destroy America in a process they call, believe it or not, creative destruction, as if destruction could be creative. This was a theory thought up many decades ago by a British economist, Joseph Schumpeter, who literally was indeed a communist, and now this is what's taking place: the destruction of America. They believe on the ruins they will build the new world order, but America has been the holdout. The American people, because we have a Bill of Rights, we have a Constitution, They just can't just boss us around and kick us around. So now they're in the process of causing a great economic upheaval, very possibly a catastrophe. And what they're really doing is stealing. They're plundering America of our oil, of our coal, of all of our economic treasures, of our land. And we're really in for it now because they have the keys. You know, they have the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank and the World Trade Organization, the International Bank of Settlements. For decades, they have been building up these international organizations, and one of them, of course, is the United Nations, though not the strongest of all. And these are the organizations they're using now to really destroy America. And the bankers, the Goldman Sachs, the Morgan Stanleys of this world, the Bank of America's, J.P. Morgan Chase, HSBC, which is actually Hong Kong Shanghai Bank Corporation, all of these are working together in tandem with the Federal Reserve, which is now the world's central bank, and it has been doling out trillions of our dollars. This is one of the main things that, as you know, if you've watched Die America Die, I actually show pages from the only audit that's ever been made of the Fed Reserve, dated 2011. It's only a partial audit, but the Fed was forced to admit that they have given $17 trillion. That's more than our deficit, isn't it, I think? I'll have to go back and look at my notes here. But $17 trillion to foreign banks, foreign corporations, And that is just amazing. By the way, the European Central Bank, called the ECB, recently doled out over $1 trillion to keep European banks solvent. They were about to go under. Of course, they're all a bunch of scam and Ponzi artists over there. So our Fed electronically created almost $17 trillion in the last 3 years, but in the last 2 months alone, through the European Central Bank, gave another $1.3 trillion. They do this at 0% interest. Now, Leo and Kyla, is it possible that you and I can get, a billion or two at 0% interest?
Yeah, I think so.
I mean, this is free money. And what they've been doing, for example, China, the Hong Kong Shanghai Bank of China, and the Bank of China, they take these billions of dollars that are given to them, then they buy up what is called the American debt, you know, our treasury bonds, which allows the Congress to keep blowing our money and wasting it. And for the privilege, they get 3% interest. So think of the scam here. Our Federal Reserve creates money out of thin air electronically, gives it to China, and to Belgium, and to France, and to Italy, and to Britain, and to all the other countries. And then they take that money at 0% interest and buy up treasury bonds in America and get 3% interest. So they're getting this 3% interest, and the American people are led to believe that we can keep spending forever and ever and ever, because after all these foreign countries, they're so generous. They want to buy up our debt. They must love American debt. Yeah, they do. They get 3% interest. Now, if I told you, Leo, I've got $1 billion for you, I will not charge you any interest, and then I've got this other bank sitting out here, and I'm going to let you park your money in my bank and pay you 3% interest, you'd say, wow, that's a pretty good deal. I like that. You know, I'm going to get 3% interest on $1 billion that I didn't even know that I had until you just told me. It is a scam of the first order, but this is what they're doing. It's unbelievable.
But I think what you didn't say, which is even more outrageous, okay, is that money is backed by the United States taxpayer.
Oh yeah, if they don't pay it back, like Greece couldn't pay it back.
Well, no, but I mean, it's like it says we owe the, you know, it's the Federal Reserve, but the Federal Reserve prints our money. It doesn't print it, but it issues our money. Right?
Yes, that's right.
We are obligated to pay the federal, the Fed, for every dollar that's issued. I mean, it's based on, you know, basically it's based on the American Treasury note. And, you know, and so not only are we getting screwed by the Federal Reserve just printing up this money that we owe, wind up owing to the Fed, but we're also owe twice, okay, because now we owe 3%
to all
these other countries that they're, I mean, it makes absolutely no...
It makes no sense. Now, here's another scam that I show in my video, and this is the, I believe this is the atrocity of the century, but the mainstream media will not report it. And here's what's going on. The United States attacked, invaded, conquered Iraq. Cheney had a meeting with all the oil men, and they set up the plan beforehand, but they would not give anybody a copy of it. And so they even went to court and just told the court, we're not going to give the American people a copy of the plan that we have for Iraq. We went into Iraq claiming, you remember Condoleezza Rice told us that there would be mushroom clouds all over America if we didn't do it, because Saddam Hussein had all these weapons of mass destruction. So
yeah.
we went into Iraq, we conquered Iraq. Now, Iraq actually has more oil reserves than any nation on earth. In fact, the newest figures for the International Energy Administration says that Iraq now, the known reserves in Iraq are three times as much as Saudi Arabia.
Wow.
Now,
the Gulf of Mexico, that the United States, the Gulf of Mexico is the largest.
It absolutely is, but you know something? The International Energy Administration doesn't say that. They hide that fact. Because the American people would be very upset if they found out that we had more oil. We're like a ship floating on a sea of oil here in the United States.
Well,
but more on that later.
Yeah.
But what is happening in Iraq is we went there and we opened up all the oil fields that we had shut down through an embargo.
Right.
And now we, the American taxpayers, paid companies like Schlumberger and Halliburton to open up all the oil fields and start drilling big time with new high-tech equipment, you know, all the things that you need that Iraq did not have. Now that we owned Iraq, then we could start, you know, drilling for all that oil. Now we built three pipelines in Iraq. One of them goes down to the Persian Gulf, and tankers there load up with oil. The other two go across the northern western part of Iraq, go across Israel and southern Lebanon, these new pipelines, and they end up in the Mediterranean, where tankers of BP Oil Company are loaded up night and day, 24/7, and all the oil is taken across the seas, and most of it ends up in Red China. Now, remember, Cheney said that we would not have to pay 1 cent for the Iraq war because we would get that oil of Iraq and pay ourselves back.
Yes, I remember that. We would have very cheap oil.
But what really happened was it was planned all along for Red China working with BP. Red China didn't really have the technology, but they have the Chinese National Oil Company, CNOC. Now, CNOC and BP, British Petroleum, the Rothschild Israeli British outfit, are there now, and a contract was made with the puppet rulers of Iraq, and the Iraqi people, who still have no good water, who still don't have their electric plants up and running, who still have their highway system with potholes made from all of our bombing, they're living in dire poverty in Iraq from our destruction. Now, what is happening to their oil if they are the richest oil nation on earth? Well, guess what? Now, I want to challenge your people to prove me wrong. I think they'll prove me right. BP and the Chinese now, National Oil Company, were given the contract by the Iraq government, and they are producing the oil. They're bringing it up out of the earth. Now listen to this, Leo and Kyla, for $2 a barrel. $2 a barrel they're paying Iraq for the oil. Now, on the world markets, in Europe, they're paying $125 a barrel. In America, they're paying $106 a barrel as of today. They're getting the oil from Iraq. That's all the poor people of Iraq get is $2. Now, China is being made, turned into, transformed into the giant colossus of planet Earth. But not because they're so much smarter than everybody, not because their communist tyrant monster chieftains know how to handle the world's economy that's capitalist. They are given all this oil for $2 a barrel from a country that now is producing more oil than Saudi Arabia and Kuwait put together. And the oil pipelines were built by us. They go across Israel and southern Lebanon. That's the reason why Israel is about to attack southern Lebanon to guarantee the security of those oil pipelines. Now, think about it. Now, I want to explain something to people. China has no or very little natural resources of its own. They are not an oil nation, but now they are because we are laundering all the oil from Iraq into China. Now, 10 years ago, there was not one China oil company in the top 50 of planet Earth. Now, two of the largest oil companies in the world are in red China, PetroChina and China National Oil Company. I want you to understand this. The second largest oil company in the world after Exxon is now the Chinese oil company. And by 2015, just 3 years from now, it will take the place of Exxon as the largest oil company on earth. But China is using for this the oil of Iraq. It's an absolute incredible story. And in my video, I show you all of these foreign headlines that talk about it. But you know something? I couldn't find it in American newspapers. I went to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, and I went in the archives of, you know, Fox News Report. And all of them, and there's no news about this. It's like almost a hidden thing. Well, but I really want to challenge your audience to do this. Google up these words, China National Oil Company, BP, Iraq, $2.
Wow.
And you will see probably 50 different articles from the world's press reporting this. Now, I want to explain something to the American people. When you can buy oil on the world's market for $2 and sell it for $125, wow-wee. No wonder they have the second and seventh largest oil companies in the world in China, and yet they have no natural resources as such. This is how they're doing America. Now, I want to tell you another little scam that's going on. This is the most wonderful news in the world. I'm going to tell your audience something, Leo and Kyla, that will be so mind-boggling. It's like this. Every person listening to us is worth millions of dollars but doesn't know it. And I would like to tell them on your program that how they can get their millions. They haven't won a lottery. It's better than a lottery. Here's the deal. Here's the deal. 5 years ago, America had to import oil from overseas. And you remember Barack Obama and the Democrats especially kept saying, we cannot drill ourselves out of this problem?
Yes.
You know, no matter how much we drill, we'll never have oil independence.
That's
well,
right.
here's what has happened, and it's the most incredible story in the whole world. Even though the environmentalist and Obama, and even before them, Bush, and the Bush administration, because they didn't want this to happen either, and even though the huge oil companies, Exxon, Shell, Chevron, and so forth, even though they did not want it to happen, little bitty entrepreneur oil companies in America, like the old wildcatters of the 1920s, they began to drill for oil in America. Now, the environmentalists in the last 10 years particularly, but especially in the last five. And guess what? Come to find out, they have discovered that America has more oil than any nation on earth, including Iraq. And here's where the oil has been found. North and South Dakota, Montana, Utah, Colorado, New Mexico, South Texas, more in Oklahoma, Pennsylvania, California, Ohio has a big strike. They've got these new fracking procedures, fracturing, pumping this hot, steamy water down there, and it loosens up everything underground. And up comes gas and oil in the most incredible amounts. And now they're using what they call slant drills with very powerful diamond, hard, tips on them. And they go way under the earth. And this is what has happened. Did you know that North Dakota has added 400, it's a little bitty state, has added 400,000 jobs in the last 3 years?
Yeah, but you know that North Dakota is also the only state in the country that has a central bank. You know,
well, that's a good point. I'm sure the big boys didn't like that either, Leo.
But listen
on this oil. I was driving down the road a week ago with Wanda, my wife, and there was a oil man down in San Antonio, and he was saying here in South Texas, we have found more oil than has ever been discovered in the state of Texas, and it might be the largest supply of oil in the whole world.
Wow.
In South Texas. Now, here are the names of some of the companies, because Exxon and them wanted to keep this oil off the market. They wanted to keep us dependent on China. That's right. We've been buying Chinese oil for the last, ever since we invaded Iraq. We have been buying Chinese oil and gasoline. The names of the companies are like Whiting, Range Resources, NOG, EOG, little bitty Chesapeake, small companies that no one has ever heard of. And they found all this oil, and now, guess what? In 2011, the official Energy Department statistics show, Department of Energy shows, America exported more oil than we imported.
Yep, I read that.
Yeah, yeah.
We already are energy dependent. Obama is a filthy, dirty liar, just like George W. Bush was in front of him. And Exxon and all of them are absolutely upset about this. They would say, oh, we got to get that Middle East oil, and we got to bow down before the potentates and the sheikhs and all of that, and there's just nothing we can do about it. Liar, liar, pants on fire. But these little bitty oil companies, they're bringing up, listen, a young man can go up to North or South Dakota or Montana, get a job driving a truck for $120,000 starting a year.
Jeez.
People that used to work in the Gulf of Mexico and lost their job because of BP oil spill, now went up to Pennsylvania and Utah or the Dakotas, and they're getting two times and three times the salary they got. Down here in Texas, you just drive south of San Antonio, just go down the highway and just drive, and drive 50 miles, 100 miles, and you're going to see dozens and dozens of trucks with names like Chesapeake, all these little bitty oil companies and everything. It is remarkable, absolutely incredible. And that the good news is America has more oil than we will ever need. We don't have to buy one barrel from anyone else in the world.
Well, where is that oil going from these small companies?
Okay, now here's the problem. Here's the part of the problem. That if we're all going to get our inheritance, after all, it's our oil. Most of this is found on public lands. Public lands. It's our oil, and we're all worth millions. You know, in Kuwait, the people, they get a big royalty from the government. Even up in Alaska, you get a royalty.
Yeah.
I really believe right now we could fund Social Security and Medicare. We could double it. For the elderly, we could probably triple it, and everybody in America could probably get a check. I don't know how much for. We'll get the mathematicians in here, But we could probably, each of us, get a check for probably $50,000 to $100,000 a year in royalties if we make our government, our Congress, and the bankers and the oil companies do what's right. Now, here's what's going on. If you are drilling and you found a bunch of oil up in the Dakotas,
yep.
They're telling you, we're so sorry, but we're not going to refine your oil for you.
Oh.
We only refine oil from the Middle East and China. You'll have to sell your oil at a, I'm not kidding you. That's what they're telling them. And the newspapers won't even report it. They're telling these little companies, we know you've got all this oil. You'll have to ship it to Red China and let them give you, take off $30 or $40. Right now, even T. Boone Pickens admitted, he's got a lot of oil right here in the United States, and he's dumbfounded. He says, I'm forced to sell my oil for $70 a barrel to Red China and to other countries. Because American oil refineries, gasoline refineries, will not buy the oil from most American companies. They claim, we have contracts with Saudi Arabia and with Red China and such. We're just so sorry. But if you want to sell your oil at $70, but you'll have to, in other words, you'll have to ship it to China, and they can refine it there for you. It's an amazing bunch of baloney. Now, this Keystone oil pipeline.
Yeah, but
that's not for America.
Why isn't T. Boone Pickens and all these other clowns building their own refineries? Okay, I mean the insanity of it is beyond. And T. Boone wants to go build windmills and crap. I mean, he's out of his mind. All right. I mean, why would a guy like that want to do that? I mean, why would anybody in their right minds, all right, want to put up with that? All right.
Okay. Let me explain something here to you. Actually, T. Boone Pickens, that was all a ploy. That was something to deceive you and me and the public. These great big windmills, that's all a big ploy. What he really wanted was licenses and permission to build pipelines throughout America and to ship water. He's a water oil man and a water man. They're going to jack up the price of water around the world. They're going to triple it for Americans. You wait and see. And they need to have pipelines built throughout the United States. Maurice Strong, one of the richest men in the world, went to Colorado and bought up all the water rights underground. T. Boone Pickens owns all the water rights to the water underground up in West Texas, in the panhandle of Texas. He needs pipelines. He claimed he was going to send electrical energy through the pipelines for wind power and all that baloney. But what T. Boone Pickens and every oil man knows and every big banker knows is that America has so much gas and oil it can never, ever, ever, ever use it. And listen, it will never run out because it continues to be replenished from underground. You know, my brother Troy, who's passed away now, was an oil man with Sun Oil Company. And he told me something. He was in charge of their land acquisition. And he told me something. He worked in Houston, Texas, had a big office and all. I was an Air Force officer at the time. And we had a big discussion with a couple of his friends. We went out to lunch together. And my brother Troy was telling me, this was some years ago. He said, Tex, did you know that we're uncapping all of our old oil wells? And I said, uncapping them? He said, oh, yeah, they ran out of oil, So we had to cap them. Which basically means, put concrete and put a cap on them.
Yeah.
And seal them up. He said, well, we went back and discovered that the oil had percolated back, and over just a few decades, they're full of oil again.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're kidding me. He said, oh, no. He said, and now we have so much oil here in North America that he said, I'll be honest with you, they don't want anybody to know how much oil we've got. The main job of the Department of Energy is to prevent oil from being produced. That's the main. They have 23,000 employees, federal employees, at the Department of Energy, and their main job is to prevent oil from being produced. Because, now I want you to think of something. Rockefeller founded Standard Oil Company. It became the colossus of the oil companies. But Rockefeller had a problem. smaller oil companies were founded, went out and found oil, and pretty soon oil had fallen to just 10 cents a barrel. By 1910, I think it was 10 cents a barrel. Now, he was not pleased with that. And Rockefeller was so mad that this capitalist billionaire actually said, and I'm going to quote him, "Competition is a sin." Competition is a sin. So he here in the United States and Rothschild over in Europe and Asia and Russia began to figure out ways to work together to either buy up or destroy these smaller oil companies until finally it got so bad, you know, that the Supreme Court of the United States ruled that it was a monopoly and had to be broken up. That's when you had all these other little oil companies, not little, but at least it broke up into what they call the Seven Sisters. Standard had to be broken up. Now, because of that monopoly that they had, but Rockefeller loved it because he hated competition. The more oil that is produced, the lower the price will go. Now, that's why oil companies founded all of the environmental companies. If people don't believe it, read the book Battling Wall Street. It's actually called JFK, Battling Wall Street, by Dr. Donald Gibson of the University of Pittsburgh. JFK, John F. Kennedy, recognized this, and he saw that what was really going on with the environmental movement is it had been founded by the oil companies. They want the environmentalists to complain, and that way the oil companies can say, "We're so sorry, we just can't produce the oil, and we have to close up refineries, or we cannot build new refineries." See, there has not been a new refinery built in the United States for gasoline since 1976. But in Red China, they have built 25 new gasoline refineries in the last decade alone. So that's why, in fact, this very year, both Conoco and Sunoco announced that they're closing down their gasoline refineries in the United States. Why? They've got too much gasoline. They've got too much oil. They don't know what to do with it. And so this is the problem. We're awash in petroleum. Now, some people would say, and as I show in my video, why is it then that the price of gasoline is going up at the pump? Why is it that oil keeps going up? Now it's $106 here in America, $125 globally for oil. Why is that? Well, here's why. There's a what they call an oil speculative market called the futures market. Now, the Commodities Futures Trading Commission discovered, and you can Google this and look it up, Commodities Futures Trading Commission, which is supposed to be like the Securities and Exchange Commission for Wall Street, for commodities, you know, everything from oats and corn to wheat and oil and gold. They found that when the price of oil went up to $147 a barrel 3 years ago, that 80% of all the oil futures were bought and controlled by just two major banks. Not the oil companies, they just go along with it for the ride, which is profitable. Goldman Sachs and Morgan Stanley, these two giant investment banks, controlled 80% of the oil futures market. Now, to get away from the Americans telling these two banks what to do on the oil market and to quit driving up the price of world oil, they actually moved to Great Britain, and they set up the Intercontinental Commodities Exchange, or ICE. And that's where they're now setting the price for oil, at this Intercontinental Commodities Exchange. And Kyla and Leo, let me surprise your audience once more. Did you know that Wall Street is leaving America? Well, now, not the building. And not the stocks and everything on Wall Street in New York. They are moving the Wall Street exchange, their headquarters, to Germany. They're merging with the German stock market.
When is that going to happen?
Well, it's already been announced, and I think over this coming year, what will be happening is the chairman and the CEO and a whole board are all moving, I believe it's to Frankfurt, Germany, and they're going to change the name, and it will be basically the German New York Stock Exchange. This way, they won't have to pay any attention to what the Securities and Exchange Commission says. They can have insider trading all they want to. They can jack up the price of commodities. They can rip everybody in America off, and the SEC will be toothless, have no tools at all.
Doesn't Germany have any structure or any requirements?
Well, they do have, but not like we have. Not like, you know, the American people have just been the most active. You know, from the days of Teddy Roosevelt, we've had the trust busters and all of that. Of course, lately we haven't been doing very much, but that's what they don't like, because the Americans started getting tougher after the, you know, after 2008 and the Wall Street catastrophe. The American people started, I mean, look at what happened. Senator Dodd was embarrassed and forced to leave the Congress. Barney Frank, he ran. He was supposed to be overseeing, you know, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac and the Securities and Exchange Commission. I mean, we got rid of the guy who was head of the SEC. We fired him. We got Barney Frank he was head of the House Committee, and he was forced out in embarrassment, and so was Dodd, who was the senator, who was chairman. So my point is, they're angry. Wall Street is angry because the American people rose up and we've started demanding the Securities and Exchange Commission go after the crooks. So they just said, well, we'll just take our marbles and move to Germany. So screw you, American people.
And this Occupy Wall Street became quite the insult to them, as well as, you know, I recall probably 2 or 3 years ago on my radio show, they were talking about, actually I think it was right after the bailout, they were talking about all of Goldman Sachs, as well as Morgan Stanley, but definitely Goldman Sachs recommending to all their employees to carry guns, right, and weapons, because of the hostility of the environment.
Well, if Americans knew what Goldman Sachs alone had done, I want you to think of this. Henry Paulson,
right,
was chairman of Goldman Sachs. What a crook that guy is.
Yep.
Henry Paulson, chairman of Goldman Sachs, and he became Secretary of the Treasury under George W. Bush.
Well, Corzine was also a major executive with Goldman Sachs.
That's a good point. And now he started up this other firm, MF Global, and I understand that 38,000 ranchers and farmers are now suing MF Global because John Corzine ripped them off. And a lot of them lost their whole life savings and their farms and ranches to John Corzine.
But here's what
Henry Paulson is. I show in my video, Henry Paulson, in over a period of 4 years with Goldman Sachs and as Secretary of the Treasury under Bush, he's the guy that gave us the TARP plan. He's the guy that worked with Ben Bernanke to rip the American taxpayers off at the Fed Reserve. Did you know that he flew around the world and visited Red China 74 times? That's even in Wikipedia.
It wouldn't surprise me at all.
74 trips. Now, the guy says, I've always loved China, and I've always been a fan of China. Isn't that nice? Now, at the same time, Timothy Geithner, who also was with the Fed, the New York branch of the Fed Reserve, is now our Secretary of the Treasury. Every time you turn around, he's heading over to talk to his commie bosses. It turns out that Geithner is a Chinophile who literally, he actually speaks Mandarin Chinese.
Yeah.
And so he's going over there, kissing up to the Chinese. But listen to what Goldman Sachs has done.
What?
Now, I want you to think, they're a banker, right?
Yeah.
What are they doing in oil? What are they doing in gold? Why don't they just do like other banks? Well, actually, all the big banks are doing this, ripping us all off. But listen to this. Did you know I discovered that Goldman Sachs and Red China are working together, and that they built, Goldman Sachs was in charge of this, a bank now, one of the biggest banks in the world. They built in Red China over 100,000 enormous-sized warehouses. They say that there are areas of China you can go and you can drive for 100 miles and see nothing but new warehouses up. Now, these warehouses are bigger than the biggest American airplane hangars. Why would they want 100,000 warehouses? But let me tell you, for the last 3 years, China has been using all of this money that has been stolen and plundered by the Americans in Israel from Iraq, and they have been using that money and buying up America's resources. I have correspondents from Seattle, from Long Beach, and they're telling me that night and day, train loads of coal, tin, aluminum, lumber, uranium ore are coming in to the seaports, and they're going on gigantic cargo ships. Where? To Red China. When they get to Red China, all of these materials are being loaded into the warehouses. Now, this is a very frightening thing. First of all, because of the recession that was going on, most of those resources were at least one-third to one-half off their normal prices.
Yep.
So they got them at a bargain-based price. But why is China buying all these things that they don't need now? And what is Goldman Sachs, a bank, doing running their warehouse operation? You can go on Google and Google this up. Google up Goldman Sachs, largest warehouse builder in the world. And here's what happened. Goldman Sachs actually bought up an American company that is the largest builder of warehouses in the world and has moved its headquarters to Red China. Can you imagine? The world's largest warehouse builder, Goldman Sachs, bought up, and it is now in China building warehouses. Americans don't even know this.
No. Now, these people that are involved in this, these executives with Goldman Sachs, the Paulsons, the Hank Paulsons, and people like this, are they buying property in China?
Oh, yes. Maurice Strong, who was head of the environmental program of the United Nations and owns all those water rights. He also was chairman of the board of hydro water up in Canada. He has a big mansion there. Neil Bush, one of the Bush boys, he owns a string of country clubs. Billy Graham's son. Billy Graham is a big fake and a horrible fake. That's why he went along with the government, and the Billy Graham organization would even turn into the government those house churches that were not official, and they would come and arrest all those Christians. But in exchange for that, one of the Graham sons is making money hand over fist over there. And then, of course, you've got like Senator Charles Schumer from New York. He's going over there constantly. Senator Claire McCaskill from Missouri, Mayor Bloomberg, he's one of, and then John Huntsman. The Huntsman Oil Company is growing topsy-turvy because John Huntsman, he speaks perfect Chinese too, and Obama made him his ambassador to Red China. So all of these people are treasonous, traitors to America, and they're building Red China into this gigantic colossus. And here's the horrible part about it. You know, this began many years ago. And you'll recall that the worst spy in the history of America was an American-born Jew from Galveston, Texas, named Jonathan Pollard.
That's right. That's right.
Now, Jonathan Pollard got him a job. Now, remember, he's an American. He was born in America. But he loves Israel. He puts them first. He's one of these kosher Americans. Or kosher Jews, and he stole over 10,000 top secret and secret documents from the Pentagon where he got a job. and he gave them to the Israeli Mossad, and the Israeli Mossad gave them or sold them to Red China. So Red China got all of our blueprints for the nuclear submarines and our newest missiles and from one Jewish spy. And now Netanyahu is demanding that Obama pardon this dude. He's in prison now. And AIPAC and all of them are lobbying, saying he is an Israeli hero. We want Jonathan Pollard out of jail. Israel is your ally. Why are you keeping our spy? Well, first of all, what was he doing spying on us? And when is Israel going to apologize for helping to turn Red China into one of the most powerful military countries in the world against the wishes? You know, I know a man here in Austin, Admiral Bobby Inman. He was deputy director of the CIA. He warned Bill Clinton. He said, Bill Clinton, if you pardon this horrible spy who could have been responsible for millions of Americans dying in a nuclear holocaust, if you pardon this Israeli spy who helped Red China with the Israeli Mossad by his side, we, all the former directors and deputy directors and of the CIA and all of the former joint chairmen, of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the Pentagon, we're going to have a joint news conference and blast you from pillar to post. And Bill Clinton was being pressured by the Jews, the Jewish lobby in America, to exactly do that. But at the last moment, he backed out. He realized he had already pardoned such crooks and spies as Mark Rich and all the other Israeli Mossad people. So Bill Clinton backed out. We'll see if Obama, if he gets a second term, he may indeed pardon Jonathan Pollard.
We've come right to the end of our show, Tex, so we need to say goodnight.
All right.
But we appreciate all that you've said, and you gave us so much information. There's always more. That's why we can have you on so many times. We really appreciate hearing from you.
Well, thank you so much, and I do hope people will get Die America Die. It'll make you angry, but it might also help save and rescue America, and that's my purpose.
Question for you, though, Tex, and I wanted to ask you this, was because aside from people getting your DVD and maybe listening to this program, what can be done? Who is out there doing anything and with any power to fight these guys?
Well, I think it's the little people. You know, I'm one of them. But I think it's amazing when we stand up together what we can accomplish. Now, I don't hold any stock in Mitt Romney or Rick Santorum or Barack Obama, but I do believe even the Occupy people, maybe they don't understand things just perfect, or the Tea Party people, but even by their standing up, I think they frightened politicians, and we need more of that, more participatory democracy. I think we can win, and I want to make America the richest nation on earth. But our country, they want to cut back on Social Security. They want to cut back. Listen, we don't need to – if we will simply handle the economy right and quit lying. But there is – I think when we come on again to the program, maybe when you invite me back in, I'd like to talk about why they want Red China to lead the New World Order and why they're redistributing and plundering our wealth. There is a purpose behind all of this, and it has to do with the goals and ambitions of the super elite rich.
That's
they,
right.
They're not American patriots, believe me. And
no.
I think the best thing we can do, Leo and Kyla, is expose them for what they really are and shine some light on them.
Well, why don't you come back again on next Wednesday night, and we'll have a third Tex Mars discussion on that issue.
Well, I'll be glad to do that. I sure will.
We'd be happy to hear about that and explore the area of why they're doing this and what their goals are.
Right.
Well, I really appreciate that, because another thing that we need to let people know is this has nothing to do with race or ethnic things. In fact, I think we as Americans need to stand up whatever race we are, whether we're black or white or Jew or Gentile, doesn't matter. But there are the elite out there, and they certainly have a plan, and it needs to be exposed, and it's not for the good of America as it should be.
Absolutely.
Okay, we look forward to talking to you next Wednesday.
Okay. God bless y'all, and keep up the courageous work. I appreciate it.
You too.
I know your audience does.
Yeah, they do. We appreciate it. So thank you, Tex, and have a great night.
And good night.
All right. God bless you. Bye-bye.
And we want to thank everybody. You can check him out, at his work out at powerofprophecy.com. And, powerofprophecy.com. And you can also get, check out this program and the programs that come.
And if you go to the Power of Prophecy, it gives all his books and his DVDs and all of the things that he has. A lot talking about this area, but different parts of it, about the Illuminati and things that relate to that.
And next week we'll be discussing the whole Chinese thing. The beginning of the program, I played about 15-minute video that discussed this and how the United States was essentially formed by people to protect the wealthy,
right?
You know, and property owners and so on, and how it developed over the years to do that, and how they've created this myth of the United States, this myth. That not so much in the sense that the people aren't good, but that the sense that they are overriding the people's will, you know, with this remark, this American exceptionalism that
they've gotten people to believe the fantasy.
Right, but what's happening is that now they're destroying us. Okay, they're selling our resources
with our participation.
With our participation, yeah, but. You know,
and the rest of us have to stand up against it.
You know, whose participation? You know, the Congress and the president, these elected schmucky schmucks that we have to get rid of.
The lackeys. The New World Order lackeys. That's all they
exactly.
are. And you know what, folks? You New World Order lackeys, you'll be squished too.
You'll be
like bugs when you're no use to them.
So we'll be occupying Washington.
They think that they're nothing's going to happen to them because they have enough money. You could never have enough.
Not when you squeeze us hard enough.
No.
You know, and millions and billions of people will rise up against you. And that's the way things go. So I want to thank everybody for joining us tonight. Again, we're really pleased that next Wednesday night we'll have another round with Tex Mars. And it's definitely an eye-opener. So I want to thank everyone. And have a pleasant evening. Join me tomorrow night as we venture into the fourth dimension, and we'll be discussing some other fascinating areas. So good night, everyone.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.